Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest. Stephanie would usually say your hermitage of the heart, and I would say your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints, the teaching of the church, so that we might understand how to navigate the tumult of this crazy life that we all live. And today we are talking about a holy remedy, a remedy born out of the goodness of the hearts of people, I believe, who pray, who have the best interest of the church and the world at hand, and are really looking to make a difference. It's what happens when you love Jesus, the normal outgrowth of your life. Is that you love God, but in the Epistle of John, it says that if I could summarize the Epistles of John in one very important theme, I would say it would be, as you are with men, so you are with God. And if you're not caring about others, and you're not caring about those created in the image of God, of course, our priorities are those who are in the flock or in the fold. But Jesus even said we need to leave the 99 to save the one. So if we're not caring about others, then there's something broken in our relationship with God. And so this is why we cover a topic like this on Divine Intimacy Radio, which is a little unusual, but it is fitting to do so. And today I have one of my favorite humans on the planet, Simone Riscala, with us from the Philos Project. Simone is the Deputy Director of Education at the Philos Project, a first-generation American of Egyptian Armenian descent. Simone has a particular interest in matters of religious freedom and culture and the Eastern roots of the faith. She's a faculty member at the Abel Institute, Just Because God Loves Us, and host of a new podcast, Beyond Rome, which seeks to reconnect Catholics to their Hebraic and Christian roots in the Near East. And you can find her talks and publications and podcasts at her website, culturalgypsy.com. That's culturalgypsy.com. Welcome, Simone. It's great to have you on the broadcast.
Thank you, Dan. And you're one of my favorite humans. And I'm not just saying that. I'm so honored to be here with you today.
Well, I was, you know, obviously you and Stephanie struck up a relationship first, and then I got to know you and your good work when you were over at Endow, and Stephanie just thinks the world of you as well. So it's great to have you and to talk about this new project. What is Philos? Why should people care about it?
Thanks so much. The Philos Project is a very, very interesting.
Now, wait. So before you go, I'm saying it wrong, right?
It's well, people say Philos, but I say Philos. I think most people say Philos,
okay,
but
great.
I've heard it said both ways.
I'll try to correct go ahead. Sorry.
Philos, from the Greek for friendship. And the name Philos kind of refers to, you know, Abraham being called the friend of God. Mm. And so the what Philos is dedicated to is positive Christian engagement in the Near East. Mm-hmm. And the method being that we approach it kind of like you were saying in your intro so brilliantly, that a friend of God and a friend of others. Mm-hmm. And that is how we're going to really make lasting impact in the church and in the world, and particularly as Christians who have an attachment to the Near East, precisely because Christianity began in the Near East, began in Israel and the Near East.
Yeah, I always like to say, when we're talking about evangelism, love builds a bridge over which truth can pass. And love isn't about, you know, using your turn signal or holding the door open or not kicking puppies. It's about implicating yourself in the lives of others and the needs of others. I remember Archbishop Chaput once preached a homily And he said, if you don't serve the poor, you're going to hell. I thought, I love that bishop. But it's sort of like that, right? I mean, if we truly love Jesus, if you have a healthy love for Jesus, it is impossible to be blind to the needs of those others, in particular, the what we would call the anawim, or the little ones, you know. And I think you and I have joined forces to deal with the anawim in terms of the Armenians.
Yes.
And anawim in terms of the size of, you know, the remnants in their own country, the first Catholic country in the world, if I remember correctly.
Yep. Yeah, I'm grateful to you for that, Dan. For Armenia last year, right before the cleansing of the Nagorno-Karabakh, we had that prayer vigil, and it really meant a lot to me that the Avila community came together for that. So thank you.
Well, God be praised. So the Philos Project is to draw the hearts and minds of faithful Catholics to the challenges of the Near East, would you say, or the...
So the Philos Project is actually not Catholic. It is Christian, but Philos Catholic, which is a special project within the Philos Project, is Catholic. So we're talking about a special project within the broader Philos Project, which has a lot of projects, which I can go into if you want. I can go into all of it. But the Philos Catholic special project within the Philos Project is dedicated to engaging Catholics to be more in touch with their Hebraic roots and with the Near East in particular.
Yeah, I received an invitation from you all to go to Israel, which yes. I was, you know, ready to jump on just because you've told me about the Philos Project. And I thought, well, if she's, you know, doing this, it's going to be good. But unfortunately, we had something hard scheduled. But if you keep me up to date on when it's,
you'll definitely be re-invited until it works out, because it's an incredible trip.
Now tell folks about that trip. What would I have seen? Why? What's the goal of taking people on these kinds of?
Absolutely. Well, there's like the broader goal of Christians in the United States, and also of Catholics who are all obviously Christians, that we have lost touch with our Hebraic roots, and we have lost touch with an understanding of our Eastern Christian brothers and sisters. That is something that, of course, John Paul II was very much committed to, and that famous phrase from his encyclical Ut Unum Sint, right, that the church, to be healthy, and the church is suffering, needs to breathe with both her lungs, both the Eastern lung and the Western lung. And we often forget that sometimes, especially in the West, which, you know, you talk about poverty and reaching out to the little ones in the United States, we're the ones that are spiritually poor. And that's something that Mother Teresa noted when she came to the United States. She said she's been to a lot of poor countries, but the poorest country she'd ever been to is America, because we suffer from the poverty of loneliness. That kind of spiritual and cultural loss and depravity, because of materialism, rising secularism, sometimes we kind of lose touch with authentic Christianity, with authentic Catholicism. And so being in touch with our brothers and sisters in the East is this kind of a revival of, oh yeah, Christianity began here. Pius XI, spiritually we are Semites, right? There's an experience and an authentic expression of Christianity that's easily lost in the West and in an American context sometimes. And we see these reductions all the time, Dan. Anybody who works in the apostolate, you see it.
Yeah, I mean, I have been really blessed by more recent explorations by folks like Brant Petrie on the Jewish roots of the Mass, and really reintroducing Catholics to this reality. But it's a sort of a side topic that I don't want to get us off on, but one of my frustrations with I'm thoroughly Catholic, and this is Jesus' church. Jesus is a Jew. It's established by a Jew, by the Messiah of the Jews. It is his church. So I don't question any of that. But for some reason, and the Lord allowed this actually, and I haven't come to any wise, understanding of why, And it's probably in part a judgment, because though many Jews did embrace the faith in the first century, even many, as scripture says, in leadership did. Some people think, you know, all of them rejected Jesus, and they didn't. It's just not the case. But I think in way, maybe it's a judgment. The church, because of early persecution, became very what I would call gentilized. Judaism and its history was almost faded, you know, in the background, in a very Gentile, not, or a non-Jewish perspective, however you want to use the phrase, became dominant in the way the faith was understood. And I think it's really important that the work of Brant Petrie and scholars, yes, who understand scripture and the Jewish roots of the faith, and there are others, but also a project like this to help us to reconnect to the reality, because I think it just opens up your heart and mind to a deeper, more, I don't know, true or authentic understanding of who Jesus is, was, what is, you know, the Jewish faith, and how does it relate to Catholicism, and maybe even enrich, well, I'm not maybe, but enrich our own view or understanding of even Catholicism, and how it ought to be more deeply influenced by its past.
Absolutely. I think one of the most fun things being a Catholic is, and I think the reason that I am a Catholic Christian, is that the church's voice is prophetic. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's an accident. And I think as often as people will give me the opportunity to speak on this, I will. I don't think it's an accident that in 2023, the year that both Armenia and Israel were attacked by aggressors, that the newest doctors of the church are both an Armenian doctor of the church, St. Gregory of Nadik, mm-hmm, and St. Irenaeus of Lyon, who, mm-hmm, you know, is our most recent doctor of the church. He is the guy that really fought the Marcion heresy, that wanted to keep the Old Testament Judaism disconnected out of the Christian thing. And because St. Irenaeus is, because of his work, we have the Old Testament scriptures that we decided that this covenant was going to be a fulfillment, a continuation of God's work in salvation history. And so these are the kind of things I take to prayer. What's the Holy Spirit up to? What's God up to that he's asking us through the Mother Church to look at St. Gregory, the Armenian monk, to look at St. Irenaeus, who's the doctor of unity, that's supposed to unify the East and the West, that's supposed to recapitulate that Christ was going to gather all together. This is from Ephesians, which is what St. Irenaeus' great work against heresies was examining. So, Dan, to me, that's something that is it's an invitation to me to prayer and to look at what is God up to behind the scenes when we're looking at our own life, our own mission, our own callings, in light of what's happening in salvation history, which is, of course, connected also to world history.
Very good. When we get back from the break, we'll continue our conversation with Simone Riscala. And I want to talk to you, Simone, just to get your brain ready about the 24 Perpetual Pilgrims, and talk a little bit about that effort that you have going on. We'll be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father, so there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation, you know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted. for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
This is Dan Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. Stephanie is leading a retreat for women in Europe. And so I'm alone today, but not alone because I'm with Simone Riscala and we're talking about the Philos Project. And Simone, let's talk about the conference that you hosted on Nostra Aetate. Why did you guys pick, I have a guess, but why did you guys pick Nostra Aetate, and tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. Well, for those who are listening who don't know, Nostra Aetate is a very short document from the Second Vatican Council. I think it's the shortest of the 16 documents that came out of the Second Vatican Council on our relationship with non-Christian religions, particularly Jews and Muslims. And this is a groundbreaking, a very important, significant groundbreaking document, highly controversial in the Second Vatican Council. But the reason that the Philos Project and Philos Catholic was hosting this conference at Franciscan last October was because it was an anniversary of the 5 years of the Tree of Life synagogue mass shooting in Pittsburgh. And there had been very disturbing rising rates of anti-Semitism in the world, in the country. And so it was a conference kind of dedicated to that. And so when the idea was proposed to Franciscan University of Steubenville, there was no hesitation on their part because they were aware of the rising rates of anti-Semitism, not just in the world, in the West, but also in the church. It seemed like it was something that we put together after the attacks, the Hamas attacks on October 7th, but the conference had been in works for months and just happened to be scheduled a couple weeks after the Hamas attacks. Because everybody was asking us, well, how did you put this together so quickly? But it had been in the works for a while. So it was a very providential conference.
Yeah, I mean, for those who don't know, Nostra Aetate, the original purpose of that document or the conversation was to mend fences, if you will, between Catholics and Jews. Now, there's a lot of misinformation about the Catholic Church and Jews. The Catholic Church protected many, many Jews in the Second World War. And there were a lot of issues. Our martyrs that this listeners of this show would know about, like St. Teresa Benedicta or Edith Stein, was martyred because of Catholic resistance to what Hitler was doing. And so he said, okay, well then, since you're going to resist, I'm going to kill more. I'm going to be more aggressive. It was a very, very difficult circumstance for the Catholic Church, of course, as a global entity in that context. I think there's been a lot of criticism regarding the Catholic Church's actions. Frankly, I think when you look at their record, what it truly is, they did well, but in these kinds of circumstances, it was so brutal. I mean, there's very little upside to any negotiations. It all had to be settled by bloodshed, unfortunately. But so Nostra Aetate was to mend fences because of perceptions, whether rooted in truth or no, of conflict between the Catholic Church and Jews. But then it was expanded to also address concerns from other faiths, which I think watered it down. I don't know what your perspective is.
Yeah, that was part of the controversy. It's just a whole long story, but there is a free course that Philos Catholic offers on Nostra Aetate that is definitely worth checking out through our online academy if you want to delve deeply into the history of Nostra Aetate and the historical context. And there are, you know, outstanding exceptions of Catholic heroes during the Second World War and the Shoah, the Holocaust. But, you know, Christian anti-Semitism has been a problem since the beginning. And what is scandalizing to me is that it's been a problem from the beginning. We're a fallen world and a broken church. What is very faith building for me is that the church got to the point where she had the humility. And I think John Paul II, just as a saint, as a pope, as a Christian, really embodies that humility, where he's unafraid to apologize and to make reparation and to take us all with him and saying that we have contributed to this, we have given in to this spirit of anti-Semitism. And when we have, it has not been of the Christian spirit.
Yeah.
And we need to repair it, and we need to grow in, and this is the beauty for me of especially of the popes of the 20th century, that if it's true that the Jews are elder brothers and sisters in the faith, well, then you love your family, mm-hmm. and take them as part of our family. And so you mentioned Brent Petrie, who I've loved for over two decades now. I was happy when Bishop Barron reminded us of the exciting call to re-Judaize Catholicism. Love hearing Father Mike Schmidt talking about, you know, we're not a separate people. You know, we look to the roots for hopes of greater fruitfulness. Mm-hmm. These are all authentic fruits of the Second Vatican Council, I would say, that we really need to lean into deeply, especially now when in this last year, you know, anti-Semitic attacks have risen by 400% is the latest statistic.
It's crazy. I wonder, do you have any sense of why? I mean, when you look at the Armenian genocide, the fundamental structure that preceded, or that the fundamental social construct that caused the hatred, is the same with the Jews as with the Armenians, in my limited knowledge. Yeah. And that is, they were merchants. They were sort of masters of the marketplace. They were good at that reality, so they tended to have more money, maybe then more power, but they weren't necessarily the majority in terms of the, and so it just wasn't they were an easy target to hate, both groups.
Yeah, there's that. There's other really good reasons that we can look at. I think the heart of the reason, however, and you know, I love to go to kind of straight to the root, the heart of things, is that it is a true supernatural spiritual evil, sure. The spirit of anti-Semitism. And I have to believe, and again, I'm thinking about this a lot, especially being Armenian, especially being a Catholic, 2023, what happened to Israel and Armenia, that if it's true that the Jews are God's chosen people, chosen for the sake of the whole, no doubt, but still his chosen people, that he still loves them, that St. Paul is right in Romans 11, that the covenant is not revoked, that his favor still lands upon these people, that there is going to be retaliation for that. Mm-hmm. So too with the Armenians, who are the first Christian nation, as you mentioned, there's a certain retaliation from the enemy for that. Also a particular chosenness. I would say that with the Armenians, it's a spirit of apathy, you know, good men doing nothing. Mm-hmm. With anti-Semitism, it is this rising Jew hatred. And like you said, there are many, you know, maybe practical reasons for it, but I think ultimately it's a spiritual evil. And Andrew Doran, our senior research fellow, director of Philos Catholic as well, he has a great article in Mosaic magazine where he actually talks about my grandmother, where a grocer told her, today the Jews, tomorrow you, to her face. And he discusses in that article, which others have discussed in, you know, my library of books that I'm reading, going through now, Dan, that when there's a rise of secularism, there's a rise of paganism, and that spirit of paganism is really contrary to the true God. Mm. And so perhaps the more secular we become, the more pagan we become, the more there is that fighting, if you will, on the level of the supernatural against the true God.
You took the part of the one that I should have taken on this show, because it's about the interior life. But you know, you're exactly right. The enemy hates God's people because God loves them, and they hate God. You know, and it is true that he chose a particular people in history, yep. to bring the gospel. He chose a particular people to introduce himself or to bring clarity about who he is and how to be in relationship with him. And he did choose the Jews to do that. And so there is a particular hatred. And of course, the greatest hatred, I think, probably in a real tangible sense is for Jesus. And his bloodline, of course, is Jewish, though he's fully God and fully man. So it makes perfect sense that there would be a deeper hatred of Jews than of Semitic people than anyone else. Though he hates everyone, he's an equal opportunity hater. You know, he hates everyone because we're all created in the image of God, whether you have Jewish ancestry or not. Every one of us bears that image, and he hates that image. And so it's a weird thing to talk about in this culture. It's very countercultural talk about this sort of, you know, there was, but it is a historical fact, right? There was a people he chose.
Yes. And that's definitely, it is weird, but like Flannery O'Connor says, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you odd. You know, I'm working my way, Dan, through, and you mentioned Sister Benedicta of the Cross, St. Edith Stein. You know, she was friends with Jacques and Raissa Maritain. She used to go to their Thomistic intellectual circle groups, and I wish I could have been a fly on the wall, time traveling, just to hear their conversations, but you know, Jacques Maritain, I'm making my way through his chapter on the mystery of Israel. And he wrote this incredible paragraph, which I'll read if you give me permission.
You know what? I'll tell you what, Simone, yeah. We're going to do a second show, and because we're out of time in this first show, but let's open in the second show with that.
Okay.
And we'll set that up again. So folks, thanks for being with us on Divine Intimacy Radio. Check out the Philos Project and Simone's work at culturalgypsy.com. And now I have to do Stephanie's outro. Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.